Now in Hebrew, the word for ground is Adama. Adama. There's four Hebrew letters. And from Adama, we get Adam, which is man. Just from the same Hebrew word, you understand? And from Adam, you get Dam, which is blood. So from dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return, the mortality of man is all bound up in one little Hebrew word, Adama. So when a tree is to be found in its natural environment, its roots are in the Adama, in Adam. That's how we were born, you see. We were born with our roots in Adam. But of course, when we come to look at these boards have no relationship with Adam. They stand in sockets of silver. They have been redeemed in Christ. Remember he was sold for 30 pieces of silver? Remember that? And of course, the shekel of the sanctuary, that half shekel of the sanctuary, that had to be paid for the atonement of a soul, also of silver. So we, in this particular context, are redeemed by silver. We know that in the New Testament we're not redeemed with silver and gold. That's another pattern altogether. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about the pattern as we see it in the tabernacle here. So these boards have no relationship with the Adama. These represent people. That's what they represent. But you see, God did not choose the proud oaks of Bashan or those proud huge cedars that we saw last night, all those beautiful trees that we saw. God didn't choose that kind of tree to dwell with. He chose the simple, humble acacia tree. Now the acacia tree basically is a thorn tree. Most acacias are thorny trees. And the wood, if you had to look at the wood, it's only good for the fire. That's all it's good for. Throw the wood into the fire. You can't make furniture out of it. You can't do anything with it. And so we see the miraculous hand of God here in that the Holy Spirit gifts had to be given to Bezaleel and Aholiab so that they could carve these planks, these boards, so that they could fit together in perfect fellowship, you understand? Perfect fellowship, standing in the presence of God. And that which was mortal was now overlaid with pure gold. And of course, pure gold speaks to us of that which is indestructible, that which is immortal. And of course, we have these bars on the outside which are seen. And then there was the one bar that ran in the midst, right in the middle. You couldn't see it, right in the middle. Now there are a number of brethren that suggest that these in fact weren't bars, or rather boards, but that they were in fact frames. And of course the idea is quite appealing, that when you walked into the tabernacle, if each one of these was a frame, you would be able to see the ten cherubic curtain of glory from the inside. And of course the idea is also quite enjoyable when we consider that those oxen could never have carried the tons and tons and tons of these boards. But I would like to suggest to you that if you remove the miraculous element from the tabernacle, you remove the tabernacle completely. So I don't believe that those are healthy ideas at this point in time. Just as a little matter of interest, the word for boards in Hebrews is the word quaresh, and that word quaresh is 50 times translated as board, one times as bench, and the word for frame in Hebrew is yetzer, yatzar, mina, and it's you just can't trace it in Hebrew. But where's all this taking us to? If we can see these boards representing people redeemed in Christ, 50 boards in all, which brings us to the year of Jubilee, standing in the very presence of God, redeemed in Christ, having our association with Adam cut off, our fellowship could only really exist, truly, if we are supported by these four bars. These bars on the outside which are visually seen. And of course, that is made manifest for us on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when we consider the words of Peter, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Four things that you can see, they are visual, you can see them. But you see, there's one bar that runs in the midst, something that you cannot see. And that is the Spirit of Christ. Because you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Could we have the next one, Rick? Our reading. The ten cherubic curtain of glory. Alright, so we've got two curtains. 5 curtains sewn together. Each strip, 28 cubits by 4 cubits. So you can see that in fact you've got 7 imaginary squares there, which in fact give you 35 imaginary squares on that, 35 on that, giving a total of 70. And of course, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? 70. There's also 5 strips and 5 strips. And of course, when you come to look at the Yahweh name at the top here, Yud Hey Vav Hey, the Tetragrammaton, you'll find that the letter Hey appears twice, and the letter Hey has a numerical value of 5. So we can see it's God covering over the tabernacle. It was God's covering. We've got the 50 loops of blue down here, and 50 loops of blue down there, and then of course these 50 tachs or clasps of gold, and each one of those little clasps had to correspond to a loop of blue, and that was brought together over the veil. Now what does the veil represent for us in the New Testament, in Hebrews? The flesh of Christ, doesn't it? That when Jesus said it is finished, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And so we see in the veil the death of Jesus, the sacrifice of self. And that immediately over the veil, these two great curtains, these two 10 cherubic curtains of glory made of fine twine linen, and they were embroidered on the outside and on the inside, you understand, so that the whole fabric of God's nature was to be seen on both sides, not just on one side only, but on both sides. So the cherubim were actually sewn in with gold. How was that gold made? Can anyone remember how the gold thread was made? They had to take gold and beat it fine, like paper, and they had to cut it into strips, and they had to sew with that. Now you imagine that, sisters. Pretty difficult, huh? You need the Holy Spirit gifts to do that. What I'm going to suggest to you is that when we come to Galatians, we find an interesting pattern there. We talked about it yesterday, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. For when we've been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. But there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Through the death of Jesus, we are bound together. And we have found liberty together, because there's 50 and 50 and 50. Just look at the times that we are told about freedom in Christ Jesus. And it's a beautiful lesson. But I mentioned earlier that the tabernacle, you can turn it off, Wynn. The tabernacle itself was an unsightly thing to look at. It was only for those that had gone into the tabernacle, those that had been baptized, the priests namely, that could go into the tabernacle, that could see its glory. They could see the gold. They could see the 10 cherubic curtain of glory above. They could see the veil. They could see the 7-branch candlestick and the altar of incense and the showbread. The glory could only be seen from the inside. Only when you are baptized into Christ Jesus, when you come into the sanctuary, do we see the glories of Scripture. But from the outside, it is unsightly. Do you often wonder why people don't respond to the truth? It's really not a very pleasing thing. We don't market it. We can't market it like other people market it, can we? And the tabernacle was like that. You look at the tabernacle, it was, well, just sealskins. And that's all they ever saw, was just sealskins. I'd like to close with some words from Isaiah, and I bring you to them now. Isaiah 53. It was only those who recognized their sinful ways and washed at the laver, who entering into the household of God could see its beauty. And it was only when they were inside that one could marvel at the detail. But from the outside, it was unsightly. Verse 2. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.